Joined now by the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber, on Twitter, at Pete Weber Sports. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, and I'm puzzled. Could I ask you guys a question first?
Sure.
I'm trying to find out why Joe has to move back to Tulsa.
Nashville's got too crowded for me, Pete, and I need to move to a city that's up and coming, and Tulsa's that city.
Okay, all right. That's a double-A affiliate now, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's probably just about right, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd welcome you and Claudia anytime to Tulsa to come out and see us.
Thank you very much. We'll get Jerry Rome to come by, too.
Yeah, that's right. Great talking with you, Pete. Have a good day.
Nice talking with you.
Oh, hey, Greg, are you here?
No, I'm fine. I'm just, I didn't want to interrupt that. Yeah, no, not at all.
We're best friends, man.
When you get up in the morning and try to, catch up on Twitter, and some things just befuddle you, and I was quite properly fuddled.
Well, did you see Jimmy Fallon reading the Big Joe on the Go hashtag last night?
I did not. No, wow. I was at the ballpark and came home and promptly fell asleep.
Well, you
lucky man.
But he for the third time in Joe's illustrious career, he had his hashtag read by Jimmy Fallon, Big Joe on the Go.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding. That ranks up there with the stupid newspaper tricks I submitted for David Letterman back in the mid-80s. When he took my ad that I sent in, actually from the Daily Oklahoman. It was a nice display ad for a clearance sale on tombstones.
And you got it on the air. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, it was good talking to you, Pete. It really was. Hey.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah, Barry Trotz. I love it. Boy, I'm happy for Barry. Yeah, I mean, how many times do you think that's been said in this city the past 2 weeks with the Cup, with whatever the mess was with the Capitals, and then now the Islanders? That was the only job. Tell me about Barry Trotz and the Islanders. Is that a good fit?
Well, it was the only fit, eventually, as it came out.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, I think there's going to be another tribute video put together to the tune of Johnny Paycheck's Take This Job and Shove It that probably will be played much around the nation's capital region. Lou Lamoriello likes to run teams like Barry Trotz does, and Lou just took over as the major domo of the Islanders about a month ago, leaving the Maple Leafs, and we knew him from his time with the New Jersey Devils, which was a lengthy, lengthy period of time. He produced 3 Stanley Cup champions there, and now he'd like to produce another and have a guy who's coached one. And I think this is a marriage that's going to work out very, very well.
Somebody's saying, well, he's going to take a year off and maybe go around and take some time and do this and that. But you know what? Coach is coach. They want to be behind the bench. They want to do what they've been doing for 30, 35, 40 years. So I'm not surprised at all that he took a job where he felt that he was a good fit for instead of sitting out. Good for him.
Well, yeah, and on top – now, I had the morning that it finally became official about the – I'm sorry, the morning before – several calls from people in the Northwest saying that he had been sighted in Seattle, which is still not confirmed as an expansion site, but seems likely to be so shortly, and saying that he would do like what he did here, that is to say, scout for the expansion draft the year before play began. But this takes care of all that speculation.
Pete Weber with us at Pete Weber Sports. The thing with the Capitals, we knew that was already going to be. I mean, he was coaching. I mean, he was coaching for his coaching life with the Capitals. He wins that.
Yeah.
Still didn't matter that the low ball offer. And what was it though with between is. Personality clash or whatever between the general manager Brian McClellan and Barry, and I know they had Todd Reirden there, associate head coach in waiting. They wouldn't let him interview with any teams last year, so that should tell you something, going into this basically a lame duck year for Barry. But what was the rub there?
I don't know what it was. I do know there was not much communication among all the parties there, and that includes Brian McClellan. That includes even within the coaching staff. So it had to be one of those things where it's like you were walking on eggshells throughout the course of the year, with the Stanley Cup or not. And they were right on the verge, right? They lost the first 2 games of the playoff season. to Columbus and then came roaring back and won the next four. I mean, the entirety of the playoffs, and we know what a long, sustained run that can be, had to be just gut-wrenching for him.
I was listening to somebody else, Pete, another radio station, and they said, well, because what happened to Barry Trotz, you know, some people aren't going to take that job. I'm thinking, there's only 31 NHL head coaching jobs in the world. Somebody's going to take that job because it's a head coaching job.
Right, right. And that's the whole thing. Now, people would have said this in the previous structure, the Islanders, as they were being run or mismanaged, however you wish to say. But, yeah, somebody would take that. And now they're probably on as high a managerial plane as they ever have been, at least since the days of Bill Torrey and Al Arbor. And Barry Trotz is more than happy to accept that.
Good for him. Pete, let's go back to the NHL Awards of the night. Pekka Rinne, I've said often on this show and in everybody I talk to, he is the most genuine and nicest professional athlete I've ever talked to.
He's a pro-human.
He's a pro-human that I've ever talked to. I know you've dealt with him many, 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 many times too, but the feeling is all around. He's just a gracious, good man, and it's good to see a good man get rewarded that way.
It is great to see that. And you know who he reminds me of in terms of being a human being is maybe he's not his direct predecessor, but Thomas Vokoun. Pekka and Thomas both seem to have the attitude that every goal against, no matter what happens in front of them or sometimes behind them, is their fault. And they're willing to accept that. And that's what I like about Pekka. And Pekka has been... Man, that was as emotional, I think, as any award acceptance I have seen in a long time.
Tell me what the impact is of P.K. Subban being on the cover of EA Sports. I know what it means, and we know what it means here, but overall, the brand, the Predator brand, I mean, that's strong right there, Pete.
Yeah, it really is, and I wish I could give you more insight into that, but what we know, the way esports, that's what we have to call them now, have captured our society and the younger members in it, perhaps. But I know a few guys in my demographic that are addicted to the video games as well. But yeah, branding, that is the critical part of it all. There is P.K. Subban on the cover of the game, a black hockey player on top of all of that, and wearing the Predators uniform. That tells us a lot about how far we have come.
Pete Weber with his voice of the Predators at Pete Weber Sports. Speaking of P.K., he was one of the three finalists for the Norris Trophy Defenseman of the Year, along with Drew Doughty of the Kings, and then Victor Hedman of the Lightning, and Hedman won it. Really don't have a problem with that. I thought certainly the season P.K. had, you'd love to see him win it, but I don't have a problem with Hedman getting it.
No, I don't either, and here's the other thing. On the Tampa Bay Lightning and on the Los Angeles Kings, Victor Hedman and Drew Doughty, respectively, stand out without any question. And I'm not trying to do a little promo here for a popular dandruff shampoo, but they are head and shoulders above their defensive brethren on that team. With the Predators' top four on defense, it's kind of difficult to make a selection, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to, you know, it was Weber for a while now. I mean, will it be Yossi's turn next? It's you know, getting to that point. Speaking of defensemen, free agency, what, starts Sunday, right? July 1st. Yeah. And so we'll hopefully, you know, we'll sit here and maybe the Ryan Ellis deal will get done before then, or if not, and I know you can't comment on these kind of things, Pete, but it is news that come Sunday, he will be a free agent.
Well, he still has a year to go, so you can negotiate a new contract for him.
Okay, so he has the 1 year option, so anybody can match, or what do they do?
No. His contract runs another year, but you can begin negotiating 1 year in advance. So that's what that is all about. And the thing that helps everybody, and I'm sure everyone is hoping to try to take Barry Trotz's prize center away from him. From the Islanders, John Tavares, the fact that they announced the other day that the salary cap is going up to in the vicinity of almost on $80 million. So that will free up some extra room for other teams to try to make such a run. So it is going to be fun to watch this. And it's more fun to see who decides to spend as much as they can and who decides to hold on to what and what they decide to hold on to. it's really going to be something. And I think today, with the NHL draft getting started in Dallas, one of the areas being watched very carefully is former Predators assistant GM Paul Fenton, who is now running the Minnesota Wild, because there are all manner of stories coming out this morning that he has everybody on his roster in play. So watch for deals in that regard tonight.
Pete, a fun week is coming up for Preds fans when the development yes. camp next week. Do you have a role in all that next week?
Well, I'll be doing some chalk talks on Friday night's Future Stars game and sitting with people while watching the game. But my role is like that of many others, observe.
And it's fun. Those games are, you know, fun to watch. I'll never forget Ryan Ellis when he came for that camp years yeah. ago, and we had him on the show, and he probably weighed 140 pounds there, and you're thinking, this guy's a hockey player. And it's just, but it's good to see these guys grow. Yeah. If you're a fan of the Preds, you need to get out there and see these games.
After a year of Milwaukee, Predators play a preseason game against the Capitals in Baltimore. And Ryan Ellis is going to make his mark, and he takes a run at Alex Ovechkin. And he looked like Wile E. Coyote bouncing off him. And I remember him coming back to the bench, and Shea Weber, I think that was as close as I've ever seen Shea into an absolute uproar of laughter.
When was that? Was that 09, 010?
Sounds about right, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you talked about the draft and everything, and I guess so the Preds will sort of be sitting around and waiting for the first couple of rounds, right?
Yeah, I mean, as it stands now, and I've not seen any updates this morning, but I believe the first pick for Nashville is number 89. So, you know, they're going to need a lot of coffee to keep it going.
Well, that won't happen tonight, just round one tonight.
Right.
Well, just let people know, tonight, 6:30, NBC Sports Network, and then tomorrow morning at 10 on the NHL Network. Rounds 2 through 7, and I know they did have the first round, the 27th overall, but they sent that to Chicago for Hartman, so
right.
You know, they don't have that one, and so I guess you sort of pick your poison when you sort of go all in.
That's right, and here's the other thing. I want people, this could turn into a drinking game or just friendly wagers. What team tonight will be the first to say, I can't believe he fell to our slot of the draft?
I'd say about what?
Or how many times will that be said?
Yeah, I'd say somewhere around 10 is where it fall, they, you know, they start that, right?
Yeah, just at tonight's first round, exactly. Now, if the Sabres say that about Rasmus Dahlin and they finally won the lottery, they get him number one overall, that will be a little bit, shall we say, ungenuine.
Now, Pete, are you any vacation time coming up here in July and August? Going anywhere good?
Well, I guess it depends upon your definition of good, but I do have some trips coming up, yes, and I guess the biggest of those will be coming up in August, where we include Buffalo and the environs around St. Mary's, Ontario, to visit with the Crisps.
Nice. I'll be expecting our invite soon with that. Now, will you be in South Bend when Vanderbilt goes up there?
I don't think I'll be able to because of hockey. That's the third game on the schedule. I'm planning currently to go to the Notre Dame Michigan game, which opens up the year, a night game on September 1.
Ooh, that'll be good. Excellent.
I've been to St. Thomas, Ontario. Does that count?
That's very, very close, and that's the hometown of Jumbo Joe Thornton.
Right. I knew St. Mary's is right around there.
He's also been, Pete, to St. Thomas Hospital, too, so does that count?
Not this morning, though, right?
It's early. Hey, Pete, one more, and we'll let you go. The passing of John Ward, of course, and your perspective of your business, just there's not a lot of people who can go through their career and be known for so many different things, and certainly John Ward. He owned this state.
Yes, he did, and we got to find out our first year here, of course, was John Ward's last season in the national championship year with the big win over Florida State. I remember that we had a game on that day, and we delayed the start of it, accelerated the starting time of it earlier so people could watch the national championship game on the scoreboard we had then at 501 Broadway. And I remember John Ward when we had our first Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony in 2012, I believe it was. And there were so many inductees that night. And John Ward's love of humanity he was the keynote. He was the last guy to go in, and he stepped up to the stage and said, folks, it's been a long night. I am humbled. I am honored. Thank you. He didn't want people's keisters to be strained any more than they already had been. And, you know, with the first induction ceremony, you're catching up, right? And also inducted that night, his daughter was there to accept, was Lindsey Nelson. And talking with John going into that evening around all the festivities, a true delight. I had talked with him previously, but I had not connected with him in quite some time. He'd been out of the game for 14 years at that point in time. Always a delight to talk to, and he just radiated class.
Pete, you do as well. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Glad to do it, my boys. And now, Greg, you won't be going with Big Joe to Tulsa, will you? Or
no, it's part of the separation.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can't talk about it publicly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's we have a actually we have a non compete with each other.
It's like Martin and Lewis. It's a Martin and Lewis thing, Pete. We just can't get into it.
I'll never forget that one. Never forget that. My parents trying to explain it to me.
They're funny. They're funny together, but they hate each other. I guess that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
See you, Pete.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great weekend.